always say before we begin, first of all, I want to acknowledge everyone's warm Mazel Tov wishes on the new baby boy and becoming a grandfather, which is a milestone in my life. Thank you very much. I'm sure some of you are probably thinking that becoming a grandfather is going to soften me up a little bit. I'm going to become like a little bit like more relaxed about things, and probably you're right. But about one thing, I won't get more relaxed. I'm pretty sure about that because that's very much in my blood. You know what I'm talking about. We were supposed to start this morning with Mesila Nale, something that we learn in the front of the Beis Medrash on Monday mornings. The teachings of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov didn't happen this morning, and next Monday morning I hope it's not going to happen either. Beis Hashem, it should be a bris and a getusha. And we're supposed to start tonight after we do Chovas Talmidim, learning more Noyem Elimelech, which we used to do. And I have to apologize, I'm not going to be able to do that either tonight. Baruch Hashem, is just a bunch of things that have to be taken care of. I was supposed to, I have a flight to be leaving on Wednesday night, going to Chicago for the Ksivas Isius for the Sefer Torah, which would not allow me to get back for Shabbos, which makes things complicated because you know, my daughter and son-in-law basically live in this neighborhood just because they want to be close to us. They don't have much friends here, so I can do Shalom Zachar. So they were talking about maybe going to Beit Shemesh for the Shalom Zachar, and then I would come back in time for the bris, maybe make the bris a little late, and that way I could get back in the afternoon. We're trying to work it out, but in the end, it looks like, based on my daughter's wishes, I will not be going to America and will not be by the Ksivas Isius. And some of it will happen, some of it won't happen. And I guess we're just going to be eating like a lot of bread for the next few weeks, guys, because, you know, we're supposed to be fundraisers. But bread is good. I mean, it's going to be fresh bread. I mean, in Panovich, they had crusty bread. I mean, this is. And Beis Hashem, we're going to figure it out. But I'm looking forward to sharing as much as we can of the Simcha together. Okay. We're on page Samach Gimel, the Chovas Talmidim, and he's writing about a person that has to go out to work. He's writing about that a lot of times people are going to try to get you to go to work, and they come with all these different excuses and all the different ideas. It's a horse trying to convince people to go to work, and a person's, they're going to try to seduce a person to go to work. It's Yadua. It's famous that Aaron Cutler, as a young man, he was a Yassim, and his sister was a little bit more modern. She wanted him to go to, that it was called gymnasium. Gymnasium was like the secular education. He was in yeshiva, and it's Yadua that the altar, Slabotka, never let him see the telegram. He got a telegram from his sister. He opened it because he was a person who had a tremendous amount of understanding of people. He never showed him the telegram from his sister saying, you know, you have to go out to work and go out to school and get an education. You're so bright, you could be so successful, everything like that. And he never got the telegram because the altar intercepted it in order to make sure that he shouldn't end up going out. There's another famous story which I also told about Yosela from Volozhin, that he was a rough kid, and Kitzer, that Chaim Volozhin showed him that the Yitzhak would do anything to try to get him out of yeshiva, even burnt down his father's store and all these different crazy things that happened just to be able to get Yosel out of yeshiva. And the Yitzhak is going to try to come up with all these different tainas and claims why a person should leave yeshiva. A person should do everything he can to stay in yeshiva, but sometimes you just can't, it's just out of your control. Sometimes a person just can't stay in yeshiva. What do you do then? And we spoke about that a little bit. Now, a person shouldn't give up, can't give up if a person goes, because it's doable. It's doable for a person. Of course, we don't want to embrace Nisyanis, but a person can be Oymed bin Nisayan, and he has to make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him everywhere in everything that he does. He should make sure to daven, to learn. He spoke about a tefillah. Here we are, we're on page Samach Gimel, the bottom, Dvarim Halalu. He just spoke about a tefillah, a person davens, saying that he didn't leave yeshiva because he wanted to run away. Sometimes a person's forced out, he doesn't have a choice, and really I still want to stay close to you. Dvarim halalu yiyeh l'negdecha tamid. These thoughts should always be in front of your mind. Al tisrachek mechaverecha harishonim shezachu lehishayer b'toyra kol hayoyim v'chol halayla. A big yisoid. We were talking about a person staying a ben Torah, staying a ben yeshiva. Talking about the way a person dresses. If I remember correctly, I spoke about how Rabbi Reisman said it would be kedai that all yeshiva bachur should wear colored shirts. So just when a yeshiva bachur goes out to work, he shouldn't like make a statement, "I'm not a yeshiva bachur anymore." So he felt that that's so important because people, they go out to work and all of a sudden say, "I'm not a ben Torah anymore. I changed my dress. I changed my names." All of a sudden, all these chassidish guys have all these modern names. You know, like one of my talmidim, I don't know who it is, sent me a mazel tov and it was signed Leo. I was like, "Who's Leo?" I don't know who it is. But you know, all of a sudden, everyone's name becomes something cool. So you change your name, you change your dress. Person changes the way they learn. We spoke about people that all of a sudden they get into this daf yomi mode. So the person should try to stay as much a ben Torah as possible. And part of a way to do that is if a person stays connected to his friends who are still in yeshiva. To his friends who are still in yeshiva. V'linshoim el kirbam, and those friends are still breathing in. Avir gan eden v'ruach ha'yoytzim v'ben kanfei ha'chayoy soifanem v'sorfekel. The people that are in yeshiva are in gan eden. There's an avir of gan eden in yeshiva. Pilei ploim. And one of the things that we speak about Bar Yochai, We don't speak about Gan Eden necessarily, but we speak about two things that are similar to Gan Eden. When we say the song about Bar Yochai was Nase Odom Nemor Bavurecha. That's one of the words in Bar Yochai. Nase Odom Nemor Bavurecha. And Rabbi David Cohen in his Sefer Mizmor David has a big arichus about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai reached the Madrega of Odom Rishon Koyde Machet, which means like he was in Gan Eden. It was like he was in Gan Eden because he was learning all day. And the other thing we say is Bar Yochai b'kodesh hakadoshim. What does it mean, kodesh hakadoshim? Bar Yochai wasn't around at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, but he wasn't a kohen. What does it mean, Bar Yochai b'kodesh hakadoshim? It means that Bar Yochai, when you learn Torah, your mamish like you're in the kodesh hakadoshim. You're in like the holiest place in the world. It's like you're in Gan Eden. So your friends that are in yeshiva, they smell the beautiful. They're able to breathe the beautiful avir of Gan Eden, someone who's in yeshiva. Now, lie to there are people that they're so sick. They're so sick. They're so dysfunctional. They're so broken that they don't even appreciate the avir of Gan Eden. Could you imagine? There's people like that. They don't even appreciate the person's zoicha to be able to breathe in the air of Gan Eden. And there's some people that they don't like it. That's a broken person. But if a person wants to be able to stay strong, you have to stay close to those friends. It's important to stay and to have a good network. And we know that there was a Ger Tzedek Yisroy, who's a great person. Hashem even added a special ois to his name. He had lots of chashiv names. He was considered. Moshe Rabbeinu begged him and said, "You'll be one of our leaders. Yisroy was big stuff. You're going to be a leader." Einei ha'eda. And Yisro said, "No, I'm going back. I'm going to go back to my old friends. I'm going back to my old neighborhood." And why did Yisro want to do that? He wanted to do that because he said, "Look, I would like to share this beautiful like gift with other people." But Yisro didn't have a network there. He went on his own. And Yisro is gone. We lost him. Yisro is lost. Honestly, there's a religion that's called Druze. Druze is a type of Arab, but he's not Muslim. Druze is a nomadic religion, which means they don't have a land, and their Navi is Yisro. They have a Navi, is Yisro. So Yisro went over there trying to get everyone to like get into Judaism, and it ended up going south, and he ended up starting his own religion, or I don't know if it started after he died or whatever, but it didn't work. You can't do it on your own. A person needs to have a good network. You have to have good friends. So if a person is out there in the wild world, he has to make sure that he stays close to his friends who are still in yeshiva. V'tisra imahem kipam bipam. And you should make sure that you spend time with them, visit them, meet them every once in a while. B'shabbosais v'yomim tovim, whether it's on Shabbos and Yom Tov, get together with them. Tikva locha shir kavua bechol yoyim latoira. Person should make sure that he learns every single day. He should learn a little bit of Torah. We're talking about the amazing new the revolution in Torah that's going on in the Kinyan Masechta, or it's Daf HaShavua, or any of the other new learning programs that people are doing. That every single day you could learn. So every person can learn at his pace. Toimar Tehillim bechol yoyim. Person should say Tehillim every day. Back in the days, Tehillim was an art that people, they used to call them Tehillim Zogers. So we had started it again, a little bit of a taste of Tehillim. We have Mincha on Shabbos, at least once a week. We say 15 Kapitlach of Tehillim together. But there is this idea of Tehillim which keeps a person connected. Tispalo b'kavana, a person should daven with kavana. I saw myself written down how the Balatanya, Meyerdik, I saw it written down as a letter from the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya wrote that the only person who's allowed to daven in a Chabadsker, in a Lubavitcher Shtibol, is someone that's sitting and learning all day. No one else is allowed to daven for the Yom. He says everyone, the businessmen are in too big of a rush. They're always running through davening. He says, but someone who's learning, he's not in a rush, he davens slowly. He says that I'm sending spies to make sure that no one else davens for the Yom anywhere. I wrote that, it's amazing. Because you're ruining the davening. Person has to know how to daven in a way that he's going to be able to connect to his davening. But the lie that we see some of these minyanim, excuse me, that people are, the mamish, like they're running through davening. I went once to a shul. I was on the way from the airport. I stopped off in one of the neighboring cities over there. The guy said to me, "I hope you're wearing sneakers." I said, "Why?" He says, "Because over here we run through davening." That was like the Shalom Aleichem. And I mean, like super fast, right? But where's your connection? You're not going to get a connection to Hashem. So a person has to learn how to daven. Tizoher lohoisif michol alakodesh b'shabbosis v'yamim tovim. A person should be careful to try to add lohoisif minachol alakodesh. Make Shabbos longer. Excuse me. Make Shabbos longer. He should be able to try to extend his Shabbos. We try to speak about the idea of Yitin Lecha Matzei Shabbos. Yitin Lecha is trying to be Mamshich, the bracha of Shabbos during the week, the 26 letters in Yitin Lecha. It's kind of the 26 hours of Shabbos, 1 hour before Shabbos, 1 hour after Shabbos. And the Yitin Lecha is to bring the bracha of Shabbos, Me'ein Olam Haba, into the week. And that a person should try to be Meisif Min HaChoyel El HaKodesh on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Try to make Shabbos extra special. One of the things we say in the davening, it says, Ma'acharim Lotzeis Min HaShabbos. This is not davening in the Zmiris, Kol Makadesh Shvi'i. We say Ma'achrim Lotzeis Min HaShabbos, Umimarim Lovoy. Ma'achrim Lotzeis means someone that he's not in a rush to leave Shabbos. He's not looking for the first minyan out of Shabbos. Ma'achrim Lotzeis Min HaShabbos. He's not. He leaves Shabbos with a later time. Umimarim Lovoy, and he brings Shabbos in early. Some people are just always late. They're perpetually late. No, he brings Shabbos early, and he ends Shabbos late. Ma'achrim Lotzeis Min HaShabbos, Umimarim Lovoy. I once saw a question. Why does it say Ma'achrim Lotzeis first? You end Shabbos late and start Shabbos early. It should say start Shabbos early and end Shabbos late. Why does it say Ma'achrim Lotzeis Min HaShabbos Umimarim Lavoi? Why are we doing it in that order? It's a strange order. I thought that the pshat is because in order for a person to why is a person Ma'achrim Lotzeis Min HaShabbos? Why is a person Ma'achrim Lavoi? Because if you see how beautiful Shabbos is, and your person appreciates the Shabbos, so then he's not in a rush for Shabbos to end, and he wants Shabbos to come quickly. But first you have to experience the Shabbos. So once you have a beautiful Shabbos, then you're Ma'achir Mletzis. You're like, I don't want this to end, and I'm so much looking forward to next week. So the first thing that happens is first the person gets a tam for Shabbos, and then he's Ma'achir Mletzis Min HaShabbos. And a person can tap into that on Shabbos. Shabbos is given to Klal Yisrael, that a person should be able to have Kiddush on Shabbos, should be able to learn on Shabbos, extra davening. Via Shabbos, v'yom tov shelcha kulay kodesh. Your Shabbos should be kulay kedusha. Your Shabbos should be a time when a person is able to reconnect with his neshama. B'chol ha-shavua techak eloi. The whole Shavua, you should be waiting for Shabbos. Hayoyim yoyim rishayin l'Shabbos. Hayoyim yoyim sheini l'Shabbos. We're counting down to Shabbos. We're waiting for Shabbos. His whole week, it should be that's what the highlight of his week. That's the time when you get out of all of the tornado of Gehenim that your person is going through the entire week, and he goes into Gan Eden. The person goes into Gan Eden on Shabbos. And Shabbos is the time when a person is supposed to learn and daven. Kulai Kedusha, Shabbos should be. There's tzaddikim that don't talk on Shabbos. They don't say any Divrei Chol on Shabbos. They speak only Divrei Torah on Shabbos, because Shabbos is Kulai Kodesh. My elder Zayda, Moshe Aaron Paleyev, he was a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivas Yitzchak Elchanan, otherwise known as YU. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in YU. And he had probably his most famous Talmud was someone named Mordechai Gifter. And another very famous Talmud named Rav Yitzchak Shiner. Rav Yitzchak Shiner is today Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenetz. And Mordechai Gifter was the Rosh Yeshiva of Tels. Now, both of them were Talmidim in YU, and both of them he sent out of YU. He sent Rabbi Gifter to go to Tels. He wanted him to go to what he called the Shemen Zai Zach Yeshiva. Go to one of the great Lithuanian yeshivas. He sent him to Tels. And he went to Tels, and when he was there in Tels, he wrote letters to my great-grandfather, and they printed the letters in the Sefer HaIgros, which is which are letters back and forth. They're letters in Divrei Torah. They're also letters, it's just interesting to see how a Rebbe and a Talmud communicated with each other. These are two great people, two Rosh Yeshivas. One at the time was still a Bachar, but they were communicating, writing each other letters about what's going on here, what's going on there, you know, what's going on back in Yeshiva, how the boy's doing, let me tell you what's going on in Tels. And he describes what's happening in Tels. And he writes about Tels. And the tremendous hasmada that there was in Tels. And the amount of learning that was going on in Tels. And he's saying how the boys from YU, if they would only be able to get a taste of like the amazing atmosphere here, it would be life-changing. And he describes what Shabbos is like in Tels. He said, 12 o'clock at night in Tels, the Beis Medrash is jam-packed with balabatim. The balabatim from Tels, all the people that are the businessmen, they come to the Beis Medrash at 12 o'clock at night, Friday night. They learn from 12 o'clock until Nates. 5 o'clock, 5 hours Seder. Then they daven. They make Kiddush. After Kiddush, they go to the Rosh Yeshiva's house, and there's a shiur for an hour and a half. The Rosh Yeshiva says shiur to the balabatim. His house is jam-packed. He said, and there's Rischa De'araisi, so the balabatim and the Rosh Yeshiva are screaming back and forth, and sometimes the balabatim slug up the Rosh Yeshiva. These are the balabatim in Tels. So from 12 o'clock at night till 10 o'clock in the morning, all they're doing is learning and davening. The little Kiddush in the middle. This is what a balabas was. That's what a Shabbos was. Could you imagine having that type of Shabbos? And that's something that's going to energize you. B'chol HaShabbos Tilmel V'Tadaber Divrei Kodesh Im Chavercha Me'oz. The whole Shabbos should learn and speak Divrei Kodesh, Divrei Torah, with your friends from back in the day. Kipam B'pam Te'ayin B'Sifrei Musar V'Chasidus. Every once in a while looking at Sefer Musar, Sefer Chasidus. But that's what Shabbos is there for. Shabbos isn't there for us to read magazines, and it's not there for us to talk about the most recent sporting events or anything of that sort. Shabbos is there for a person to be able to soak in the Kedusha of Shabbos. Ve'atem bachurim mu'usharim. And you, now he turns, the Rebbe, talk to the bachurim. Up until now, I was talking about the guy that went out to work. Ve'atem bachurim mu'usharim. Shezachisem li'ishar b'toyra tamid. You were zoicha to stay in Torah. You're staying and learning. Al tarchiku oisoi. Don't push him away just because he went out to work. Rachamuna al nefesh umlalazu. Have rachmanis on this poor soul. Shenidcha al tachas zerem borod Mitzrayim. He's been pushed under this current of hail from Mitzrayim. Ve'esh mislakachas, and this fire mitoicha borod. Asher makes kol nefesh. Asher lo yafla Hashem latziloi. That every single soul that Hashem has not made a wonder to save him is going to get burnt. This guy is in like a seriously bad situation. Have compassion on him. Atem choisim b'tzel kanfei hashchina, karvu gam oisai. Bring mekar of him. Bring him close to you. In other words, try to embrace him. The poor guy had no choice. He went out to work. But now he says a clause. Kol oy chetira beliboy shalem im Hashem. As long as you see that his heart is still complete and his heart is still full with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you see he still wants to get back to his original situation. He wishes he could be in yeshiva, that he wishes he could be back in that situation. If you see anything going sour with him, anything going wrong, talk to him about it. Somehow we live in a culture where people are like allergic to making like suggestions that someone's doing something wrong. I've spoken to boys about it in the past a few times. Somehow people understand that if someone's doing something that's unhealthy physically, so you don't have a problem telling your friend about it. You know, that's dangerous. Maybe you shouldn't be doing that or this or that or trying to talk to them. But when it comes to spiritually, I stay away. I'm just going to stay away. Like we can't go there. And there's no reason for that. A person, of course, has to know if his friend is going to be receptive. But we should be receptive. Why do people get so defensive? If someone wants to, someone that cares about you, he's a good friend. Even good friends, even really good friends. A lot of really good friends are afraid to say anything to their friend. He's doing something that's going to really mess with his neshama. And they just don't feel like they can say anything. Why? He says, if someone's doing something, and you feel he's stepping out of line, talk to him. But talk to him in a way, b'toiv u'benachas. Speak to him positively. Say to him, you're better than that. I think that that's beneath you. I think that you really don't want to do that. Are you sure that you're not going to regret that sometime later? And speak benachas, which means don't get, not out of angry. Pam, shtayim, shalosh, once, twice, three times. Hayotzi milibchem, let it come from your heart. I really care about you. But if you see it's not working, then what do? Rachaku oisai laman loy tichavu. You drop him like a hot potato. Then get away from him, so that you shouldn't get burnt also. Chas v'shalom gam atem b'sreifas nishmasoi. His neshama is burning up, and you don't want to get burnt along with him. Ki af achar shekores devareinu. Let's go. Continue that in a second. One of the things that might have mentioned before is that in lifeguarding, everyone understands that the most dangerous situation is when someone is drowning. And I have not taken a lifeguarding course in quite some time, but back in the day, there was a way that this person is supposed to do it. First thing you're supposed to do is try to throw him a lifesaver. Throw. And then you're supposed to row and try to like row out to him in a boat. And what happens if you can't reach him? Then you're supposed to jump in the water, then go. But first try to throw or row, because jumping in the water is really dangerous. It's very dangerous. Someone else is drowning. If you're within hand's reach, so then you're in danger of him pulling you down. Now, what happens if he tries to pull you down? You just got to let him drown. You can't. The number one cause for drowning used to be, I don't know anymore, but when I was taking my lifeguarding course, the number one cause for drowning was double drowning, which means someone tried to save someone else. My aunt died that way. She tried saving someone's life and she died along with that person. Because when someone else is drowning, they're going to pull you down. And a person's got to be really careful. And you could feel really bad. I feel really bad for you. I feel really bad you're going through this. But, you know, I can't get caught up in that. And you got to keep your distance. So if he's receptive and he's willing to, you know, stay on the straight and narrow together with you, then great. But if not, you know, we have this idea of like, you know, but we're friends. We are friends. And I care a lot about you. But I'm not drowning with you. It's not going to help anything. So if your friend's going through something and he's going up doing things that he should not be doing, whatever it might be, you could try to talk to him, but that's it. After that, you got to step out. Ki af acher, finish the perek. Ki af acher shakara es devarenu ad koi. Even after You've read everything that we set up until now. Va'achash is harnu v'zeraznu. After we warn you, and after we've precautioned you, tzarechu nisim v'rachamim rabim she'yishar Yehudi Neman. He needs miracles and tremendous mercy. He should stay a faithful Jew. Ki'im zeraznu yoyser me'ashem etzavim mezarzen es ha'neshama. Have we given more warning than what they warned the neshama when he comes into this world? And still we warn him when he comes to this world, and we tell him, listen, but it's a dangerous place, and be careful. Look how many people are not making it. So a lot of warnings, perhaps they can help, but they often don't. Hashem yishmerenu mehem umehamoinam. Hashem should protect us from them and those types. And sometimes when people go out to the workforce and things change. They just change. And you got to be careful. I had a friend when I was in yeshiva here in Eretz Yisrael. He was the starkest guy. Mamish Joe Stark. He was in a yeshiva where they had a Thursday night mishmar. After mishmar Thursday night, turn off the lights. He pravatish. He gave musr. He was mamish stark, like a moose. If you don't know how stark that is, ask someone. It's very stark. He was that stark. He was mamish like a moose. Super, super stark. And he had, it was like a close-knit chevra of Bnei Aliyah and people that we worked together and wearing things. And we don't have to go into the whole process, but the Maisa is, he came from a more modern background, and his parents really wanted him to go to a college, and he ended up giving in, and his Rebbeim tried to convince him against it, and he did it. And bad news. It was bad news. I was back in Eretz Yisrael. I was in a different yeshiva. I saw him perm time, and he was already falling apart. And he totally fell apart. Became totally not religious. He was living with a non-religious woman. She was the daughter of a conservative rabbi. And that was it. He was done. And he got engaged to his roommate. And there's a big shaila, should anyone go to the wedding? Should we go to the wedding or not? And his friends, a lot of his friends were in YU. And the Rosh Yeshiva of YU said, why are you going to the wedding? What are you going to the wedding for? What do you mean? But he's our friend. We went through so much stuff together. He lost it, and we had to let go. The positive end of the story is that Baruch Hashem, he ended up divorcing his wife, coming back to Yiddishkeit, and is remarried, and his Baruch Hashem has Erlich HaKinder, and he's back in a good place. But when he was going through his thing, he was so difficult to deal with. And even though he was a close friend of ours, but, that's what you just got to do. Person's got to make sure that to protect himself. And sometimes you have friends that are very stark at certain times of their life, and then afterwards they go out there, they expose themselves to things that are just too difficult for them to deal with, and they lose it. So a person has to be very careful. Understand that going out to the world is just, you're taking a serious, serious risk with yourself. And your friends go out to the world, they're taking a serious risk with themselves. And appreciate the fact that Baruch Hashem was zeichet to be able to be here in yeshiva. We're breathing the air of Gan Eden. And I hope that we can appreciate the air of Gan Eden, because when you get to Gan Eden, it would be a real bummer if you got there and you're like, it stinks here. that's not going to work, right? So if we can't appreciate it now, so then we're going to be in trouble. So Be'ez Hashem, we learn to appreciate yeshiva, be able to capitalize on every single moment that we have, opportunity that we have to be here. And Be'ez Hashem will be zeichet, continue to growing, hopefully continue with more next time.